Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
While Chicago adjusts to working at home, the score is there for you.
I appreciate you guys being there for us to listen to.
Everybody's listening. Kudos to you guys. Keep it going. I'm a loyal score listener. I appreciate it all the time, but more than ever right now with you guys.
We are Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS with a K, the numeral 4, KIDS.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Ryan Geltzeiler.
They want to get playoff games and a final on television so their broadcast partners have a chance to make some of the money back that the broadcast partners have lost. Keep in mind, it's been a brutal year. I mean, think about how they went all in on Golden State games with Steph Curry and missed most of the year. They went all in the first half of the year on Zion Williamson and how many New Orleans games that didn't have that because Williamson was out the first half of the year. You combine that with LeBron James being on the West Coast, and then the one big superstar that moves back east in Kevin Durant doesn't play the entire year. The league would love to be able to have a final, whether it's June, July, even into August, and they're willing to move back the start of next season to do it. But I think the league would like to explore every possibility that they can to play playoffs and have playoffs advance into conference finals and NBA finals and be able to plan a schedule.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and the first ever 8-passenger Hyundai Palisade. We're going to have a conversation about football with Mike Florio at 10 o'clock. We'll do the midday midway at 10:40. Ron Kittle, the former White Sox left fielder, first baseman designated hitter, is going to join us at 11 o'clock. He is going to be the first of our guests on a series, an investigative series, an important investigative series that we are doing because of our interest in the incredibly interesting 1986 White Sox. And it's only your wait till you see how deep this rabbit hole goes. We will crack open the magical mystery jar at 11:20.
Oh,
at 11:40, we're going to play. Yeah, I mean, that's a threat. We're going to play another installment of Who Am I? That little trivia game that has been interesting for all involved. 312-644-6767 is the number of WSCR The Score. You email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you'll listen to us live. We're streaming at 670thescore.com. Just tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score, and you can enjoy us all throughout your home. We are textable as well. If you want to send a 67011, we call that the text zone. Brought to you by Rosen Hyundai at Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. When you text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein underscore MCK. He's at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan underscore Bernstein. Download the radio.com app.
Download it. Why? What else are you downloading? Like every other... You've already... Think about this. You've already downloaded every single mobile game you can find. You've already paid $4, $5, $6 for apps that you promised yourself you would never, ever spend on. You've probably already gone through every single family board game. You've played 6 or 7 times. You've even tried to invent your own game. Download the radio.com app. It's free. It works. You can go back 15 seconds. You can hit the live button to go back to live audio. You should download this app.
and the rewind function allows you to find whatever interviews you want to find. It is just what you need in these difficult times. You can stream The Score on your mobile devices, and you can interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. Jay Zawoski is our executive producer. Rick Camp is on the board. The executioner, Ray Diaz, is the man in the back doing the things that he does. I also want to remind everybody of something really cool that is starting tonight on these airwaves. If you're looking to feel a little baseball-y, this is your chance, because we're going to be replaying the 17-game Cub Championship playoff playback. This is beginning tonight. Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer will be joined by Joe Ostrowski live. That's before every game. They're going to do a pregame show. And then after the third inning, all three are live again on The Score to interact about the game, what it was like being there, and then we'll do the same after the seventh. And then when the game ends, all three are going to take calls about that game. So for you, the Cub fan, for you, the baseball fan, a truly interactive broadcast of all 17 games. It starts tonight, 6 p.m., the NLDS Game 1, when the Cubs beat the Giants 1-0. Spoiler alert. But that's going to be your opportunity to relive it, to interact about it, and sort of be in your feelings as a Cubs fan. So enjoy that. But we were looking at what's going on with the very defiant, that's the term I keep getting back to about the NFL and their stance and their puffy-chestedness on all this, is the defiant NFL pushing forward, insisting, essentially, everything's fine on their end.
Of course they are. They're the NFL. I get that you like using the word defiant to describe this league. It makes sense. That's their track record. I think you could go from defiant to tone deaf and slap that on the NFL for a label pretty easily too, especially given their past, given Roger Goodell's work with player discipline or lack thereof. I mean, this is a league that understands the world revolves around it, that the sports world revolves around it and not the other way around. So there's that. On the other hand, though, they've voted for expanded playoffs. They have demanded to the coronavirus. Like, Roger Goodell sat down with the coronavirus across the desk from him and said, "The hell with you. I'm having my fantasy draft. You're all," is how he's trying to treat this global pandemic, which in and of itself is defiant and tone deaf. But they're going forward business as usual. And I guess on some level, I can't help but look at the NFL and think, Of course they are. They have to plan for all of the business as normal, because if it does come back, if things do resolve themselves, then they've got to be ready for a full slate. They'll be the first league poised to grab. Remember, we were talking with Brian Geltzeiler yesterday, and Dan, you mentioned your expectation that when sports, any of them, come back, you're going to have this rush, this gold rush to watch anything that's live, to get out and maybe even go to a game, the likes of which we'd never seen. In some weird and I guess kind of, I don't know, selfish way, I can't help but accept that the NFL is positioning itself for those fans to come back, to have a place for those fans to go once we get back to, I don't know, some kind of business as usual.
And don't get me wrong, I'm appreciative of the NFL's bullheadedness on this, because they're giving us sports. They're giving us transactions. They're giving us rules changes to actually discuss that affect the way we think about our individual teams. They're giving us a draft. They're actually going to do an actual draft. Think about the, you know, we're going to get to play Who's Your Guy. I know people have been asking, are you going to do this? Are you going to do this? Yeah, we are similarly making preparations to do a full-blown Who's Your Guy, as we always do, and have that be as normal as possible as we usually do when the time of year rolls around. So, yeah, is the answer to that. I mean, and I'm appreciative of it. But the problem that I have is that now where they say, and we're going to get to this in just a bit, and you'll hear it in their own words, but when their officials are saying full stadiums of people, games in front of fans, they're not hedging any of it. And now it's starting to actually fly in the face of what Anthony Fauci is saying, what other medical experts are saying about timing, about even if the curve is flattened and even if the numbers start to drop, a possible reinfection that can occur. There can be a rebound effect that they've seen in these pandemics in the past. And I just, the common sense of this thing makes it look like they're whistling past the graveyard in almost a literal fashion.
They're not publicly hedging. That's the only addendum I'd make there. They're not publicly hedging. And I think the NFL, like other leagues, when we started this whole endeavor, when you and I were still working at the Prudential Building and going in every day with just about everybody else removed from the building, it was kind of this understanding that, yeah, this is happening for now, but everybody knows that the next 36, 24, 12 hours could bring complete and total change to this business, to this procedure, all that kind of stuff. I would bet that if you really read the minutes, you know, of these meetings, that the NFL is way more than happy to put their plans out there, to tell you that they'd love to have fans at games, and then let the local governments, or maybe even the federal government, make a decision on how many people are actually allowed to gather at one time when the NFL starts, about how many people are actually allowed to go into stadiums, to prepare them, to be the support staff for these teams. I think it's more than likely that we get to the start of the season. The NFL has laid out these plans, and probably others, regarding their intention to have full stadiums, full go, full broadcasts with the flyovers and the American flag and all that kind of stuff that they always do, that they've got that intention, but they'll look at everybody who's ready to watch the league start and say, well, we wanted to do this, but the state of Illinois wouldn't let us gather in numbers of over 150. We wanted to do this, but the state of California said no fans at sporting events or something like that. They'll let those determinations get made by governing bodies, so they don't have, for once in their lives, they don't have to be the bad guy. The NFL can be seen as trying to give the product to the people.
So what you're describing is, I can only read that as a cynical public relations calculation on their part, where they can say, we know what's probably actually going to happen, but it's still in our best interest to remain top of mind and to be out there for maybe what they think is their average fan. When they picture that one person and say, if we're that league, if we're not the hedging our bets league, or we're not going to be sort of, you know, mealy-mouthed about the fear of how bad this is, they all know how bad it is. Believe me, all of these owners have sent their families to remote places, and they're all going to their vacation homes, and they're all hoarding their masks and medical care and everything. So there's no question in my mind they understand how bad it is. But they're figuring, we don't have any downside to pretending it isn't that bad right now. We don't have any downside to insisting that everything is going to happen this way. It's immensely cynical, but they might be right.
Yeah, I think they are being cynical about it. I mean, you mentioned it too. They plan on having the draft as close to normal procedure as can possibly be done in 3 weeks, right? It would then, I don't know, what do you think? Wouldn't their plan to have a season as normal, or at least state their intention to have a season as normal, just a little bit boost the ratings of the NFL draft when we have it? Or do you think
yep.
that those...
Yep.
You think that those eyeballs
yep.
are already set because of the unique qualities about this upcoming draft?
I think the draft being a sporting event amidst the desert like this, it's an oasis of sports content. It's going to give us,
yeah.
you know, 20 minutes a show of who's your guy going in. Like, I'm not pretending that we're not going to be suckling at this thing like everybody else. I can't. That would be dishonest of me. But they are providing it. It's just the carrot that they dangled to say, oh yeah, full season packed stadiums. It's just blatantly and obviously not going to happen, but we're all agreeing to buy into it. Look, I slipped into this when I saw the playoff format, where you're going to have three
yeah.
wild cards now. So essentially, you're going to have your one seed gets the bye and gets home field advantage throughout. Then three other division winners play three wild card teams. it's neat. It is compact. It makes sense. The puzzle all fits together. But of course, my thought is, well, now the pressure's on the Bears because they're in go for it mode, in make or break mode, in people get fired if mode. Now, if you don't make the playoffs, now you're totally screwed. So I'm already, part of my brain is I'm buying this. I'm lapping this up, even though I know it's cynical and maybe even a little dangerous. The sports fan reptile brain in my head is still like, well, now Ryan Pace better make the playoffs or everybody's fired.
Well, help me out there, Dan. How is it dangerous? I get you up to that point. How is it dangerous to suckle at this the way we have, apparently?
Well, I'm not saying it's necessarily, well, maybe it is because we're buying into it, because it's still in its own way downplays it. In its own way is still sort of taking that side of, well, maybe it's not that bad, or maybe we're going with the projections that say everybody's overblowing this. Remember what we were doing 3 weeks ago when people were yelling at us for saying how serious this was and talking about how it's not about you and the importance of social distancing, and what we had, the number of texters, the number of people like, that's stupid, clown take, bro. You guys are just part of the media that's overblowing this. I don't know why I sound like Parkins. Why I do this? It sound like that. But that's what we were getting. And my worry is that with the NFL sort of saying, sticking in your eye here, that we're going ahead, we're doing this, maybe feeds into some of the downplaying that just might result in something other than adherence to best practices. And that's what I'm battling.
Yeah. I guess, it's a fair point. It makes me think of something that we were talking about yesterday on the show. And if you just give me a second here, I think we're all kind of susceptible to certain degrees to struggling with keeping two things in your head at once, maybe, especially as it regards, best practices during this pandemic. We talked yesterday about Dr. James Andrews and Neil Elatrache suspending their Tommy John surgeries. And I let's be honest, I blew it a little bit yesterday. Maybe I kind of didn't quite understand exactly what these doctors were up against and how their resources have been asked to be shared with local hospitals and whatnot. I was of the opinion yesterday that, what harm of these two doctors who do incredibly specific surgeries, making a couple of appointments for a guy like Chris Sale, or, I'm going to space out on the rest of the guys having Tommy John surgery over the last week and a half.
Syndergaard
and stuff like that. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe I was wrong. And I think part of the reason I was a little bit hard-headed about this is because these surgeries seemed super specific. But also, and I'll connect it back to the NFL here, also because I think as you and I, our listeners and sports fans, sit here and pace around the house and clean the countertop for the 95th freaking time and run the Roomba one more time because it missed a spot. So let's watch the Roomba run around to see if it finally gets to that spot that it will not vacuum. You're thinking to yourself, okay, find some normalcy somewhere. Find something that makes you feel just a little bit like your everyday life is coming back to you. And that's on me. You know what? That's on me. And maybe it's a little bit more complicated because it involves surgeons and doctors and procedures that I kind of assumed were a little bit more segregated and kept away from general medicine. That's on me. I'll read the last paragraph of the article next time around. But I think, embedded in that, and I hope you understand where I'm coming from here, embedded in that is our desire as a sports fandom to have some normalcy to hold on to while everything around us continues to change. I mean, we as a station, we've made what I think is the absolutely correct decision to air J.B. Pritzker and Lori Lightfoot's public addresses every day at 2:30. Lori Lightfoot's going to be on with Mullion Hawk tomorrow at 8:30. These are necessary things as we kind of all wait and wait and wait and go through this. And if I can, let me just apologize for kind of missing the larger point yesterday during a briefer conversation about Tommy John surgery and my first love, baseball, and wanting to have just a little bit of it back.
I guess that's sort of where I am, the cognitive dissonance as a sports fan of feeling like I might be contributing to the NFL being on the wrong side of this, while also part of me going, yeah, NFL, Bears. Right. You know, that's sort of suppressing those meatball urges to have stuff to talk about. All we can do is the best we can at any given moment, and that's, you know, I'm not going to pretend otherwise, that we're trying to be responsible citizens as we're keeping this the connection going and continuing to do what we do. But it's also The Score. It's also Sports Talk, and I'm also a big idiot Bears fan sometimes. So I'm it's a matter of when you indulge it and how you balance both things. But hell, that's our damn jobs, and we'll do it the best we can. The segment is brought to you by Denny's. Denny's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Order your favorites from Denny's at Denny's.com. Pick it up or have your Denny's favorites delivered right to your door with free delivery. You're hungry. Denny's delivers for free. Order now at Denny's.com. When we come back, let's hear from some NFL people in their own words. Executive Vice President Jeff Pasch, sort of evinced that defiant attitude. And then some thoughts about this expanded playoff format that, damn it, puts the pressure on the Bears to make the playoffs. There, I said it. We'll continue talking about this. Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
No, I was glad we were able to vote on that and see that the league released it. I think that'll be great for the fans and great for the teams, especially those teams that are in divisions that are a little tougher with an additional wild card team in each conference. So I think it's a really positive development.
For a lot of guys, you know, looking at an extra game, guys don't want to play that, just speaking on general. I mean, and then you look at the expansion of the playoffs, you know, you want teams in there that are actually that's deserving of it. You know, you look at the expansion of an extra team into the playoffs, you know, are they really deserving of it for, you know, their win and losses throughout the season? So, I mean, it's kind of tough for both sides, you know, but I mean, that's what it's going to be now. And that's what you got to go with and rock with. So that's how it's going to be.
The voice of a league executive followed by the voice of a player. That was NFL Executive VP Jeff Pasch, and you hear in his tone that they're rocking and rolling. Excuse me, that was Michael Bidwell, the owner of the Arizona Cardinals, Michael Bidwell. We will hear from Jeff Pasch in just a second as he was discussing his thoughts regarding the league and their standing and what they're going to do. Chuck Clark, the safety from Baltimore, doesn't like it. And I guess the divide that you have, if I can figure this out, if you're a really good team, if you're a strong team and you are expecting to be a contender and you are a contender, you'd rather have fewer playoff teams just to decrease variance, because you could catch a runner on one of these, right? You could end up with a team that's 9-7 and all of a sudden really healthy at just the right time. And because it's not a seven-game series, because it's football, because that thing bounces weird, you're going to end up with a level of variance that hurts the really good teams, right?
Yeah, I think so. You know, the team I'm thinking about a lot is the Kansas City Chiefs of just last year. Think about if the Chiefs had lost an extra game or maybe two while Patrick Mahomes was out. Think about if Patrick Mahomes, when he'd come back, wasn't clicking as well as he was. And it did take him a couple of weeks to get going again, but even still, he didn't turn the ball over a whole lot. He wasn't Mitch Trubisky out there. Think about if he'd missed an extra week or two. That team then sits down in the standings one or two spots. Maybe it even becomes the last. I guess it'd have to be a lot farther away from success than they were to be the last seed in. But if they get that guy back, if a team, you know, gets a guy back from the injury report, quarterback more than likely, then yeah, they become that runner that you're talking about. I remember when baseball expanded their playoffs. I was covering the White Sox, I think, down in spring training for the Score, first time around. And I just kind of informally went around to as many players as I could. I was like, well, what do you think of this? Like, where are you at on this? And almost to a man, I remember guys just saying, the hell with it, just win your division. You mean that was kind of the overarching response, just win your division. But I think in football, it changes some because of the variance, because of that ball bouncing the way you mentioned, and because of the outsized impact of one player. And I'm talking obviously about the quarterback. I mean, if a guy gets hot, you know, if you see Ryan Tannehill, and if Ryan Tannehill had played like he did in the regular season, if the Titans hadn't gone to that, you know, weird, just kind of old school 1980s run Derrick Henry kind of thing throughout the playoffs, and Tannehill was leading an offense that was a little bit more explosive, then maybe, just maybe, you see that last team catch a runner, stay on a heater, and do something crazy.
Baseball teams talk about staying out of the coin flip game, that win your division because that's the only way you're going to make sure that you've got a reasonable opportunity for your quality to matter. In football, it's all coin flip games. You know, that's the thing where once you add that in, and I'm not smart enough to actually do the math, and I'm sure somebody could give the actual mathematical effect of something like this, but this is where the Bears and Ryan Pace, for whatever the NFL season looks like, you better make the damn playoffs now, because you're not hanging on to your jobs in this environment with the way this roster is being constructed and the way this is the way this is all timing up right here. Now you have any last excuse has been eliminated outside of either everybody being hurt. I mean, talking about if there is some semblance of a regular season, or if whatever the pandemic does just changes the context of everything. But so here, like this, it's the perfect thing for the Bears. It's ideal for a Bears team that is being built as a one last shot sort of moonshot kind of team.
No, I think that's 100% correct. You now must make the playoffs with an extra team involved. And I think for the Bears in 2020, yes, that kind of urgency exists. I think it's fair to wonder, though, whether or not having more teams just miss the playoffs, you know, by virtue of adding a playoff team, there will be more teams that just miss the playoffs. Does that mean NFL teams are more likely to give an extra season to a general manager, to a coach? I'm not talking about the Bears specifically, because like we talked about, this is a must win. But for other teams, does it make it more likely for them to stay with the program, trust the process, so to speak, for a little bit longer, or jettison coaches even faster than we've seen becoming trendy in the NFL? I think the former.
I think they're much more likely to stay the course.
Me too. I think you'll see coach. And this has been a criticism from a lot of people that analyze the league, coaches that have been ousted and front office men who have been trying to get jobs back. The fact that ownerships are so quick to bail a path really kind of halts any sort of progress. You can't be the Browns and hit the reset button, you know, just slap the reset button on the Super Nintendo every year and a half because there is no progress there. So I would be interested. I'll be interested to see, you know, over the next 4, 5, 6 years, what kind of teams are benefited from just a little bit more patience. You mentioned that the math of this, and you know how the coin flip really kind of drops down. There's an article got posted a little while ago when the expanded playoff was just an idea, right? Just kind of an inkling. And ESPN went through in an article and listed some of the best teams to have just missed the playoffs, or the team that would have made the playoffs with this extra spot open, based on DVOA. It's defense adjusted value over average. And Dan, I know okay. You and I have talked about this a ton, but for those who haven't seen DVOA, it's a Football Outsiders metric. It breaks down every single play of the season to see how much success offensive players achieved in each specific situation compared to the league average, right? So okay. What that does is it tries to take out some of the variance. So going through the top 10 teams on DVOA to just miss the playoffs, any guesses? You don't have to go outside the box here. I mean, DVOA measures up. So that 11-5 Patriots team, you know, the one with Matt Cassel replacing Tom Brady after he blew out a knee, the one that it won 11 games, the 10th best team on DVOA to have just missed the playoffs. The one that I don't quite remember, the 90s Pittsburgh Steelers at 9-7, Chuck Knoll's second to last season. Any remembrance there? It's a Bubby Brister at quarterback year. I think a lot of people kind of forgot.
Oh, God.
That. Yeah.
What about Lovey Smith's 10-6 Bears team that didn't make the playoffs?
I'm glad you brought it up. It's why I wanted to get to the article. The 0-2 Broncos, 8th. The 10 Chargers, the 2010 Chargers. The 1999 Chiefs were 6th. The 2017 Baltimore Ravens were 5th. And the 4th best team that had missed the playoffs based on DVOA, Lovie Smith's 2012 10-6 Bears.
Wow.
Wow, yeah.
That's a great stat, isn't it? That's rounding out
your top three. Here, I'll get you rounded off in the top three. It's the 2000 Steelers, it's the 05 Chiefs, and the 1991 San Francisco 49ers were the best team to have missed the playoffs based on DVOA. The 91 Niners were 10-6.
Unless I missed it, you know who was missing from that? The Matt Cassel led Patriots?
They were 10th. They were 10th. They were the they were the 10th team on the list. Yeah.
For an 11-5 team, you start thinking.
Yeah, you start thinking then, how were they playing? How healthy were they at the time of the playoffs? And I'm not buying in. I'm not saying a hot team thing, but literally just how many of their guys did they have healthy and ready to go for a playoff run to determine, you know, if you start looking at man games missed and sort of where they were in the arc of their season, were they just barely getting across the end there, or were they getting guys back? Were they playing well? And then you could start to project how they would have done.
This may dash your hopes. If there had been, here's how the article reads. If there had been a 7 seed, the Bears would have gotten a trip to San Francisco and a rematch with a 49ers team that went 11-4-1, 4th in DVOA that year, that had crushed them 32-7 back in week 11. But while the Bears would have been clear underdogs in that game, they did have a better DVOA rating and the same regular season record as the team that eventually beat San Francisco in the Super Bowl, the Baltimore Ravens, 10-6. With the, like the article mentions, the same DVOA, 20.5, tied for 6th in the league that year.
Oh, that's cool stuff. We're Bernstein and McKnight on 670 The Score. We are on middays, 9 a.m. to noon, and we're busy today. We've got Mike Florio coming up at 10 o'clock. We're going to do the Midday Midway. I also have a tip. I've got an activity that we decided to do yesterday to try out to see if we could make this work that might give you something to do as the weather warms up that is safe and socially distant, but actually very satisfying and a little bit sportsy. If you can do it yourself, you can do it with your kids. It's just something we gave a try. So I'm going to let you know what that is. Midday Midway at 10:40. Ron Kittle is going to be our guest at 11. You ask, why Ron Kittle? Well, we've decided that we're doing a deep dive in the 1986 White Sox because we kind of went down a little rabbit hole with them based on a spoof idea that Jeff Perlman posted. And we're like, well, wait a second, this is actually interesting. The Magical Mystery Jar at 11:20. Oh, it's interesting. And then we're going to play... Once again, I got a good one for you today coming up at 11:40. There are Cubs games that are going to be starting tonight on The Score. Interactive Cubs reliving of playoff games, the 17-game run to their World Series championship. Ron Coomer and Pat Hughes and Joe Ostrowski and everybody is going to be talking about these games as they go along. It's going to be really fun, all of these evenings that are coming your way, starting tonight here on April 1st. Happy April. Goodbye, March. Goodbye forever. Smell you later. Smell you later never, forever, lousy smarch.
Never come back. Oh, my God.
Ever, ever, ever. Go away forever. Now, I mentioned the name Jeff Pasch before, the executive VP and executive VP of the NFL. And just we started the show talking about the arrogance, the defiance, the cynicism of the NFL just flying in the face of everything that's going on, of everything that doctors are saying about what's being reported. Just take a listen to the tone of this, about how they're approaching things right now.
Our planning, our expectation is fully directed at playing a full season, starting on schedule. All of our discussions, all of our focus has been on a normal, traditional season, starting on time, playing in front of fans in our regular stadiums, and going through the full 16-game regular season and a full set of playoffs. If things take a different turn, then we'd have to address it in a more substantial way. But for the time being, we're pretty confident that we'll be able to go on schedule.
That is pushing in. That is, when they say expectation, not our hope, that's our expectation, they're saying. I think he's absolutely
not only are they
lying.
Well, yeah, more or less. Not only are they lying to you,
lying.
But they're so arrogant that they've got Jeff Pasch from his home office, apparently with a wall of humbuckers next to him, just letting it rip. The guy sounds like he's Marty McFly about to let it go at the start of Back to the Future. That's the audio.
Sounds like he's
there, the executive. You know.
It did sound like he's speaking through Billy Gibbons's guitar.
Right. He's ready to let a power chord drop because, damn it, the NFL's coming back.
All right. I think he's lying. I think that is the kind of cynicism that you're getting, because there is no way in hell that the NFL season is going to go off, as he says, full bore, in front of fans, full season, all teams in their stadiums. Not a chance. I will take the under on that.
No, I think you're right. Coming up in just a couple, Brock Olivo was on with Mully and Haw earlier this morning, a former Bears coach and assistant special teams coordinator from 18 to 19, and then spent the last season as a coach for an Italian football team. Lived in Rome, has seen exactly what happened in that country as the pandemic went through, and has not left yet. Oliva with some really incredible insight as to what's going on throughout the world right now. A former Bears coach joined Mully and Haw earlier this morning. You will hear it when we come back here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Bernstein and McKnight on Sports Radio 670 The Score, talking sports and else with you. And earlier today on the Mully and Haw show, we got to hear from a former Bears assistant coach named Brock Olivo, who it so happens is coaching a professional football team in Rome, in Italy, and has been on full lockdown, has been providing his observations, his insights into the experience there, as he did this morning on these airwaves when he was asked, what has your routine been like?
First of all, fellas, it's crazy because it's almost, I'm getting used to this, and that's scary. If you'd have told me 2 months ago that I'd have had to confront this and get used to this, I'd have said, no way, you're crazy, because we're so used to being on the move, and especially in the Western world, right? We're so used to enjoying everyday freedoms and liberties, and we can go as we please and move about, and there are no limitations. And so now you find yourself in this surreal, small, closed world where you can leave the house once a week only to go to grocery shop or to the pharmacy, in other words, or an emergency, God forbid. And that's it. And by the way, when you leave the house, you can't socialize with anybody. You have to wear a mask, gloves. It's there's this sort of this underlying paranoia within everybody, and you can see it and feel it. And it's just it's very un-Western like. It's very un-Italian like as well. If you guys have ever been to Italy, you know it's a very social culture, and Rome is buzzing. And another thing, I mean, right now it's such a paradox because you have spring in the southern Mediterranean is in full bloom right now, and at the same time there's this macabre situation going on around us where people are dying and there's fear-mongering and all that with, you know, it's in the media and whatnot. So I just keep coming back to the word surreal. You have never imagined in your wildest dreams anything like this happening. That's how I would explain it. But you mentioned it, structuring your day. That to me is what keeps you sane. I mean, I'm fortunate because I have a ton of hobbies and interests, and so, my gosh, I mean, I structure my, the coach in me structures my day to where I'm eating breakfast at this time, I'm studying sommelier at this time, I'm playing guitar at this time, I'm working out at this time. So I think you have to do that. Otherwise, you'll go crazy because you'll be sitting around thinking about the situation you're in, and that's when it weighs upon you. So that would be my advice to people.
You've had to adjust and adapt to survive right now. But in terms of changing your perspective, how do you think this will do that, if it will? I mean, will this experience, whatever you're going through, and I think people want to attach this to a larger, broader picture, like what we're going through, do you anticipate it changing you? Do you anticipate it changing, you know, society in general?
That's a very, very good question. I think there's a myriad of different ways to answer that, depending on where you are in the world and what kind of person you are. Me personally, it will change my perspective. I kind of have the fortune of living between two worlds, you know, the Italian culture and our awesome culture back in the States. And so, you know, here in Italy, everyone's very gregarious and touchy-feely, you know, it's the whole Mediterranean deal, right? And Southern Mediterranean deal. And so we're back in the States, you know, we kind of practice social distancing compared to the Italians in general, you know, where, but, you know, we don't do the whole kiss on the cheek greeting, you know, that thing. It's a handshake in the States, and it's maybe a bro hug. You know, we get a bro hug in, you know, the guys do, but right. So, there's talk of that, you know, that whole, the whole way that human beings in general greet each other, there's talk of that changing. But I can't see that happening here I just can't see it happening here in Italy. I can't see people changing something so, deeply rooted in their culture that much. But where I think it'll change perspective is this, is after spending time in quarantine, I think people are gonna once they step back out into normal life, you know, quote unquote, they're gonna have a much deeper appreciation of our, you know, daily liberties and freedoms, and of time and the usage of time. And I mean, I haven't turned on the TV one time. I haven't had a TV since I left my parents' home when I was 18 years old. But so, how to make best, the use of your time, so that you can cultivate every possible, right, possibility, occasion, in your life. I mean, if you're living this quarantine the way you should, I think it should change your perspective when you come out of it. For me, it's just going to be an added layer of appreciation to actually what we have here in front of us in the Western world, and that is we have a very, very cush life, and we have everything at our fingertips that we want. You just got to go grab it, man. That's the bottom line. So, I'm sorry about the long-winded answer, but I think there's a very profound answer to that, depending on who you are and where you are in the world.
Boy, who knew when he was here that former Bears assistant coach Brock Olivo could be that that interesting and have that kind of perception of things? I guess quarantine will do that to you.
Yeah, I think that's kind of his point, is he's had a lot of time to think about all of the different elements that make up his life. You know, I mean, it's not just, I think he said he's playing guitar and doing sommelier training and all that kind of stuff. He's apparently not had a television since he left his parents' house, so that gives you a little extra time anyway. But yeah, that's quite a perspective, and it's obviously, boy, I almost said earned. It's almost put on you, isn't it? I mean, especially there and in that country, with as bad as things have gotten, earned isn't quite the right word to describe how folks over there have gained a perspective on their lives, the interconnectedness that exists, and the kind of need for some sort of social contact with others, even if it can't be of a physical or close nature, you know?
No, I think the idea of structuring one's day is such good advice. And obviously, coming from a football coach, they're all half OCD lunatics anyway. What is it, Nick Saban eating his little Debbie oatmeal pies or whatever he does every day, that they have their thing that they do. And I forgot who wrote it. I think it was a former military officer who wrote a book where something in the title, my wife had it, was called like Make Your Bed Every Day. And the idea of doing that, of having some sort of routine. This was before the pandemic. This was just sort of in general. But man, even more so, we did it with the kids, where we set up these ideas that whenever you wake up, you know, they've got homework, they've got their remote learning that's going on, and both high schools have really been ramping that up and doing a really good job with it, and teachers have been really communicative. But that idea of get exercise, do what you got to do. You know, Ryan Dempster, I don't know if you saw it, Ryan Dempster and Marquee Network have been sharing sort of exercise videos for young baseball players.
Oh, cool.
And I would say add that. Yeah, if you do have, you know, if your kid was going to be starting Little League or high school or travel ball or whatever it is, check out Ryan Dempster. We're just showing some shoulder exercises you can do. Just lift. He's getting two cans of Progresso soup, one in each hand, and just using those for some low weight, high rep exercises. And my son's baseball coach sent all the kids some shoulder exercises and various plyometric things that they can do. Put exercise on there, put reading on there for the kids and for yourself. That's to structure a day, to say, this is the time of day that I do this. This is when I take my walk, or this is when I turn off the news. This is when I'm not on Twitter. This is when we play family games. Do that. I can't advise more strongly to listen to what Brock Olivo is saying about structuring a day. And I don't know about you, Connor, but the idea of music, listen to music, whether you're making music yourself, whether you're making art of some kind, it's something right-brained. Music really helps. It really does.
I actually started. It's been a while since I picked up the guitar. I'm not good. I don't really play, but I can shape a couple of chords. But when I broke my wrist last spring, it, you know, that action, kind of turning your, it's my left wrist, so that's the hand that makes chords on the guitar if you're a right-handed player. That's been really difficult. But I just picked it up the other day and started tooling around playing a little bit. I'm still terrible, but it turned on the right neurons in your brain. Like, it's just that little bit of pick-me-up that works. And for those of you who, I mean, King of the Road, Roger Miller's King of the Road. King of the Road, man.
Okay.
Super easy to sing, super easy to play, and the key change is just, it's just enough to be like, oh, okay, now I have to learn a couple of new chords. So if you're like me and you got a guitar in the house and you're getting really bored with the usual stuff and even the everyday routine, add King of the Road to the everyday and pound that out on a guitar. Maybe we'll
we'll
learn it all together.
Yeah, so if we're sort of ranking the most fun, easy songs to play on the guitar,
yeah,
I would add Ring of Fire on that, too, because it's the perfect vocal range. You could just belt the hell out of it.
Oh, for sure. What is that? Is that AED, too? Just the three simplest chords you could possibly find?
You can play it in any key. I mean,
yeah, I'm sure you could.
And also, if you look up, and I think the online guitar archive is now shut down, but man, AC/DC stuff is not hard.
And you can
scream it.
So the thing about playing AC/DC stuff is so much of it is dropped a half step. Like, all your strings go down a half step. And if you're, because I'm a crazy person, if you're not playing it dropped the half step and you're trying to, you know, sing along and hang out and like and rock a little bit, it just doesn't have that grind to it. It just doesn't have that meanness if it's not dropped just a little bit. And I'm too stupid to know how to, you know, drop the half step down on all the strings quickly enough and then bring them back up for playing another song.
Yeah, I didn't bother with that. I just played it straight because it's all major chords. It's all bar chords.
And
you're right, though. The dropping it a little bit gives it that extra little sort of griminess.
It's mean. That way. Yeah.
We're going to talk to Mike Florio about everything that's going on in the NFL. There's actual NFL news. There's what the league itself is saying it's going to be, arrogantly and defiantly. More arrogance from Jeff Pack! And there's also the actual structure of the playoffs and everything else that's happening and what people think about it. So Florio will join us next to talk about all of it. Keep it here on The Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.